That is quite a story that we hear from Acts today from about St. Stephen, who, of course, has the distinction of being known as the first, what? The first recorded martyr for the Christian faith, absolutely. Probably not something he wanted or asked for, but certainly he was not the last. And unfortunately, it seems like it's an everyday occurrence almost. In fact, so much so, after the Sri Lanka incident that happened a couple of weeks ago, I was listening to a podcast that was put together by a couple of pastors, and they're both Canadian, if I'm not mistaken. For sure, one of them's Canadian. They're both from North America. And they were saying, you know, it's not uncommon for us in North America to say things about what it's like to be persecuted for your Christian faith in America. And, you know, the Sri Lanka incident on Easter should put that in perspective for us, that persecution may be a bit of a strong of a word. People may have prejudices against us, but we're not dying for the faith, at least not in the first world right now. So it might be a little bit of an overstatement when we talk about persecution of Christians in United States of America or Canada or other quote-unquote civilized parts of the world. And at first I was a little taken aback by that, but as I got to thinking about it, they're right. You know, we haven't had our churches bombed on Easter Sunday here. But the fact of the matter is, Jesus does say throughout the Gospels that blessed are the persecuted, and that you will be persecuted for following him. So even in our moments of discomfort, because we're people of faith and the world may stand up against us and push back or make fun of us or whatever the case may be, so be it if that's the kind of persecution we have to face. The thing about Stephen is, obviously, he was martyred. He gave his life, and there's some interesting facts about that. Stephen is not only the first recorded martyr of the Christian faith, but he's also the first recorded deacon within the Christian church. And we go backwards one chapter into Acts 6, and we can hear these words. In those days when the number of disciples was increasing, what does that mean? The church is growing. The Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So we can learn a couple of things from that passage. Number one is the Christian church has been a bunch of complainers since the very beginning. I think we inherit that from our Jewish roots, because we see that throughout Old Testament as well. But what it made the 12 do is they had to figure out some solution for this. So it says, the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them, and we'll give our attention to prayer and ministry of the word. So the apostles realized that they had a very specific ministry within the church, and that is the preaching ministry and the pastoral teaching ministry, but there was still need for pastoral care. To having folks receive simple things like food. So this proposal pleased the whole group they chose, and it lists them. Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert from Judaism, and they presented the men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So Stephen is an interesting character in Scripture. He is named first among the deacons. He's also the first to be martyred. But what I found really interesting in these Scriptures, particularly during this season of Easter, is I don't think we can ignore the reality of some of the similarities between what we hear about Stephen and his death, which reflect on him as a person who lived out his life for Christ, and also the death that Christ suffered. So today we heard the words, while they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he fell on his knees and cried out, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." When he had said this, he fell asleep. Fell asleep is a euphemism for he died. But, you know, when we hear those words, that's really not all that different than what Jesus said in his final breaths upon the cross, isn't it? When in Luke 23, it's recorded this way, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." What's also interesting is the very next phrase in Luke are these words, "And they divided up his clothes by casting lots." And we think back to that Good Friday story in the lead up to Easter, we hear that. They divided Jesus' clothes after casting lots. And it's interesting that those very words appear right after, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." In Acts 7, we heard today, "At this, they covered their ears, and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at Stephen, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul." It's a fascinating sort of congruence that clothing is mentioned in both of these deaths. And if we sort of give a little bit of thought to that, clothing actually has an extremely powerful metaphoric meaning for us in Holy Scripture. It goes all the way back to the Old Testament. Clothing can be considered as a picture of one's standing before God. And certainly that's the case in the Old Testament. If you think about the first man and woman being created, and they were placed in paradise, and they were also not clothed. And at that, for them, that was not a shameful thing. It was not a sinful thing until they disobeyed God. And what's interesting about that, if we were to read through that story in Genesis, we'll learn that even though God rebuked them, he gave them a little bit of a finger wagging, as well he should, for their disobedience, we also read in Genesis that God then created clothes out of the animals for Adam and Eve. So he actually clothed them. And if we fast forward that to a New Testament understanding of that, we can clothe ourselves in the righteousness of Christ Jesus, so that our standing before God has nothing to do with how good or how bad or how well we can keep the law or anything about us, but it's about Jesus whom we place our faith in. So as we hear this New Testament story today about these witnesses laying their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul, it's a way that I think Jewish folks at that time would have clearly understood that they were distancing themselves from God by that very act, by the act of killing someone who was serving not only Jesus Christ, but the Church of Jesus Christ here on earth. So what does that have to say for us today, and how does that relate to our gospel? Well, again, I think our being clothed in Christ Jesus is important, and we probably should be asking ourselves the question of, by the lives that we live, do people see Christ alive in us? Because I think that that's clearly what Stephen displays for us today, that by the life he lived, you heard that sermon he gave before they stoned him. He was on fire, and he was not afraid to hold back and tell them exactly what the truth was. So are we living that kind of truth in our lives too, where people see that, and if they really are anti-truth enough, would we be persecuted for it? And if we were persecuted for it, is there enough evidence for us to be convicted? Are we so strong in our beliefs and the truth of who Jesus Christ is that if we went before a court of law, would we actually be convicted for that? Could we be put to death for it? And the answer should be, yeah, that's the way it ought to be. Is it that way? I'm not sure. But we thank God that we have Jesus Christ, who tells us in the gospel today that he is the bread of life. Whoever comes to him shall never go hungry. Whoever believes in him shall never be thirsty. So even if we back off and we're not living the kind of life that Stephen offers us as a model today of a follower of Christ, we can still put on the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and we can even pray the prayer that we hear in the Gospels where someone comes to Jesus and said, "Lord, I want to believe. Help me with my unbelief." That's a prayer that we can offer, that we could all stand to maybe live a little bit more Christ-like life, where the clothes, if you will, that we wear are truly reflective of a life of Jesus Christ, who we claim as our Lord. And I pray that you receive that this evening, that you do so in the blessed name of the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let all the faithful who do say amen.
Amen.
Amen. I invite you to rise this evening as we prepare to come unto the table of our Lord to receive the bread of life.